It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to hear?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Medlock of LaPorte, Indiana. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Rachel Silverstein reports for the Times Union that while activists continue to work to keep the Burdette Birth Center in Troy open, St. Peter's Health Partners on October 23rd said it would delay the closure date of the only birthing center in Rensselaer County. In June, St. Peter's executives announced the closure of the facility, but they later agreed to a health equity impact assessment and analysis of a community survey before a hospital reduces or eliminates a service. Dr. Stephen Hanks, president and CEO, St. Peter's Health Partners and St. Joseph's Health, said, and I quote, "The information we have received from this health equity impact assessment has been most valuable in highlighting the community concerns surrounding the closure of Burdette Birth Center," end quote. If the Burdette Center is closed, there would not be any maternity ward in Rensselaer County. There already are no birthing services in Greene and Columbia County. More than 750 community members, leaders, healthcare providers, and parents contributed opinions for the survey, with 98% opposing the closure. The study authors recommended St. Peter's pay the full cost of travel expenses for patients with no access to transportation, and St. Peter's should adopt Burdette's midwifery model, which is popular with patients. But Ashley Sump, working to keep the birthing center open, said, and I quote, "Charters suggest St. Peter's provide vouchers for local bus or taxi services to help patients reach other hospitals, and states that the community can rely on EMS services for emergency delivery services. Our own assessments reveal that the local EMS is already overwhelmed and cannot take on additional trips to out-of-town hospitals. Moreover, buses and taxis are not available throughout Rensselaer County and do not run 24 hours a day when they are available," end quote. Attorney General Letitia James said, and I quote, "I am not pleased that the decision has been made to delay the closure date, and my office will continue to do everything within our power to ensure this essential facility remains open," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Philip Pantuso and Joshua Solomon report for the Times Union that Representative Mark Molinaro has become a key player in deciding who will be the next Speaker of the House. For 3 weeks, Republicans in Congress have been unable to determine who should be their Speaker, effectively shutting down the government. The House of Representatives cannot take any action without a Speaker. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I'll be very, very candid. These have been distressing, disappointing weeks. The temperature has been turned up, emotions and harbored ill will remain. And we are surrounded by individuals and groups of members who are more interested in seeing someone or something lose than making sure the people we represent win," end quote. Molinaro voted 2 times for Representative Jim Jordan, an ultra-conservative member who worked to undermine the legal and fair results of the 2020 presidential election. Then Molinaro said he was backing the Speaker pro tempore, Representative Patrick T. McHenry, but instead voted for Republican Lee Zeldin, who is not in Congress, and lost New York's governor election last year. Molinaro only won his 19th congressional district election in 2022 by 1.5%. A court will rule next month whether the district will remain drawn to favor Republicans or altered to favor Democrats. So Molinaro has little room for error in next year's election. He said, and I quote, "There is animosity, there is anger, and there is bitterness. I want to be clear, I'm a red-blooded Italian. I've got a lot of emotions, but I did not come to Congress to express my feelings to my colleagues, and so I don't necessarily embrace this as a governing philosophy," end quote. For now, though, dysfunction is the governing philosophy for House Republicans. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Porcupine Soup reports that on October 19th, the Questar 3 Bosse School in Durham was renamed the Marilyn A. Noonan School at Durham. Questar 3 District Superintendent Dr. Gladys I. Cruz and Assemblymember Chris Teague were among those in attendance at the naming ceremony. Cruz said of Noonan that, and I quote, "She was an extraordinary person who cared deeply about public education and who dedicated her life to public service," end quote. Noonan was, as a school board member, on different boards in Greene County for 57 years. The Marilyn A. Noonan School at Durham serves career and technical education and special education students with heavy equipment and agricultural science programs and elementary, middle, and high school programs in special education. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, October 25th. Local early morning temperatures range from 37 in Steventown to 59 in Roxbury. Regional average soil temperature is 53 degrees. Today there is some light rain coming in from the west, but it's not likely to reach us today. However, cloud cover is expected to increase, taking over most of the sky, and winds will be moderate, so grab that hoodie. We get a high temperature of 70 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures will be pretty moderate, hitting 52 degrees. Some light, isolated rain will fall. Tomorrow should be dry with a high of 73 at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 53 degrees. Friday will be partly cloudy with a high of 76, and Saturday is looking dry with a high of 76 as well. High tide will be at 12:07 a.m. Low tide will be at 7 o'clock a.m. High tide will happen again at 12:49 p.m., then low tide once again at 7:23 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 55 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 5:47 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see a plasma ribbon is expected this weekend. Currently, plasma winds will be slow at 325 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 4 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight, with good conditions below 4 MHz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot is showing off the solar cycle's low of 34. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
Sunshine go away today. I don't feel much like dancing. Some man's gone, he's tried to run my life. He don't know what he's asking. When he tells me I better get in line, I can't hear what he's saying. When I grow up, I'm gonna make it mine. I've been paying. Well, how much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine. Sunshine, sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like dancing. Some man's gone, he's tried to run my life. He don't know what he's asking. Working starts to make me wonder where the fruits of what I do are going. He says in love and war all is fair, but he's got cards he ain't showing. How much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine. Sunshine, sunshine, come on back another day. I promise you I'll be singing. This old world, she's gonna turn around. Brand new bells will be ringing.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Amanda.
We are a movie talk show that's here on WGXC. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's in the theaters right now. So I'm going to start by telling you what's in the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, which I guess was a video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have Killers of the Flower Moon, and we have the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. You can find out more about showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
All right. And now I'm going to be telling you about what's playing over at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. Right now, it's actually Film Columbia 2023, which is a film festival. And they have some passes that you can buy to get to see every movie, or you can go and see different movies individually. I have to tell you, it's many, 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 many movies. I was going to start reading them, but it's a lot. I'll give you some highlights that look exciting to me. May, December, the new Todd Haynes movie is there. They will be playing The Boy and the Heron, which is the new Miyazaki movie. There's a movie called The Taste of Things, Orlando, My Political Biography, The Teacher's Lounge, Fallen Leaves, Mountains. There's truly tens of movies. Maybe even 20s. Hard to say. But what I would tell you to do is, if you're interested in Film Columbia 2023, to head on over to crandalltheater.org to find out specific information about showtimes and what you can expect from the film festival.
Gorgeous. All right. So I'm going to tell you about what's at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York. That is still open, but probably not for much longer. I think they're probably done after October, but not too sure. But they are weather permitting. So that's a 4-screen drive-in theater. The first screen is playing the Taylor Swift Eras Concert Tour. Screen 2, we have The Nightmare Before Christmas and The Corpse Bride. Screen 3 is The Lost Boys and It Follows. And screen 4 is The Exorcist Believer and Saw X. You can find out more at highwaydrivein.com. That's H-I-W-A-Y drivein.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films locations, starting with the location in Rhinebeck, also known as the Star Cinema. So we have Stop Making Sense, Killers of the Flower Moon, Close Up, Pain Hustlers with author Evan Hughes, Joan Baez, I Am a Noise, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, Revival House, The Plot Against Harry, Film About a Father Who... with, sorry, Film About a Father Who is the name of the movie, which is confusing to me.
Uh-huh.
Film About a Father Who. Oh, no, it must be About a Father Who. That's confusing. Anyway, with director Lynn Sachs in person.
Ooh.
Wow. We also have Radical Wolf and Anatomy of a Fall sneak preview. And so those are the movies playing at the Rhinebeck Cinema. And then heading on over to the Orpheum Theater, which is the movie theater in Saugerties, we have Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me, Stop Making Sense, Killers of the Flower Moon, Suspiria, but the one from a couple years ago, not the one from the 80s, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Joan Baez, I Am a Noise, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, She Came to Me, Cat Person, and Dix the Musical, The Sing-Along, if you're into that kind of thing. And to find out more about those movies and some specific showtimes, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
Gorgeous. Last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Cinema in Hudson. And that is, you can find out more at spotlighttheaters.com. They recently did get a new website. It's a little confusing. The link to their new website is on the old page. So I think this new one is thespotlighttheaters.com. We have Hocus Pocus, the 30th anniversary, Killers of the Flower Moon, Paw Patrol movie, the Mighty movie, and then Saw X. And again, find out more at thespotlighttheaters.com. And then I keep forgetting we have a new theater
in Hudson.
Let me pull that up. So I think it's the Madison.
It is.
Theater.
Yeah. It's the other movie theater on Fairview that used to be like the Fairview 3 for those of you old heads who, you know, went to go in the olden days. And then briefly was a dinner theater in between also.
Exactly. So it looks like the web address here is, sorry, it's taking a little while to load. But the web address is hudson.themadisontheater.com. Theater spelled the old way with the R before the E. And we have Exorcist Believer, Paw Patrol, The Mighty Movie, The Creator, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour. And that is it. So go on, check it out. I'm excited to check out this new theater.
Me
I
too.
Hear it's great.
Yeah.
Once
same.
Again, that's hudson.themadisontheater with, you know, T-H-E-A-T-R-E
Ooh, theater.
.com.
Theater. All right. And then last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL this weekend. So they're doing some special Halloween weekend screenings, including Stop Making Sense, the new restoration, which is playing lots of other places. On Saturday, they're going to be playing a seating optional raucous screening of it, which is also BYOB, just a heads up. They will also be playing their special director series is continuing. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's actually simply not a director series anymore. Now it's a special actor series. And it's three movies starring Jean Moreau. So we've got Jules and Jim. We have The Train. We have Elevator to the Gallows, which is very thrilling. I've only seen Jules and Jim of those. And then we also have... No, I think that's it. That's it. That's a lot. I mean, gorgeous. That's plenty. And so to find out more information about those things, because I just said a lot of words all at once, you can head on over to timeandspace.org.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
If you support the MAGA agenda, if you support the conservative agenda, if you support a Republican majority agenda, we have to have a speaker.
Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky tells CNN that electing a Speaker of the House is not a personality contest. 3 weeks after the unprecedented removal of their leader, Republicans lack a nominee capable of getting the 217 votes to win the gavel. Earlier Tuesday, GOP whip Tom Emmer of Minnesota emerged as the latest frontrunner, but soon ran into familiar resistance from far-right lawmakers and dropped out of the race. Opponents, including Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, cited Emmer's vote to certify the 2020 election and his support for a bipartisan debt ceiling deal.
I can't go along with putting one of the most moderate members of the entire Republican conference in the speaker's chair.
In truth, Emmer has a very conservative record, but he was still opposed by Trump, who said voting for Emmer would be a tragic mistake.
I said there's only one person that can do it all the way. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. If Jesus came down and said, I want to be Speaker, he would do it.
Meanwhile, the House remains paralyzed with a government shutdown looming and legislation providing aid to Israel and Ukraine on hold. Former campaign Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis has pleaded guilty in the Georgia election racketeering case. Ellis was a member of the so-called elite strike force team working to overturn Trump's loss in the state.
If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges. I look back on this whole experience with deep remorse.
Ellis is the fourth Georgia defendant to enter a plea deal. Former Trump attorneys Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough are agreeing to testify against Trump. Dozens of states are suing Meta for harming young people's mental health. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says it knowingly designs addictive features on Instagram and Facebook.
Our children are in crisis, and it's up to us to save them.
A Surgeon General's report finds children who spend more than 3 hours a day on social media are twice as likely to express depression and anxiety. New federal legislation would block a tax break for the cost of legally suspect union-busting tactics. Elena Lopez with Communications Workers of America says companies spend millions on consultants who often threaten workers for unionizing, then claim the payments as a write-off.
Companies are actively breaking the law, and they're being rewarded for breaking the law.
And the Georgia Supreme Court has ruled the state's 6-week abortion ban is constitutional and will remain in place for now. Georgia is among 12 states that have put in so-called heartbeat bills since Roe v. Wade was overturned last year. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. government sent a diplomatic cable October 20th to over 100 countries, warning of Russia's efforts to disrupt elections, including amplifying disinformation like the Stop the Steal movement here in the U.S. The AP, Voice of America, and The Guardian report that recently declassified information shows Russia continues to use social media and websites to weaken democratic elections around the world. Those efforts attempted to undermine public confidence in 11 elections in 9 democracies between 2020 and 2022 and influence elections in 17 other countries. According to the cable, Russian tactics included using internet trolls and social media influencers to stir up suspicion and doubt about elections. U.S. officials suggest the success and low cost of interference efforts in the U.S. has encouraged Russian efforts to influence democratic elections elsewhere in the world. Russian operatives reportedly coordinated election official intimidation and an election day protest in one European country. A U.S. intelligence official interviewed by Voice of America said that Russians are, quote, amplifying existing domestic narratives, unquote, questioning the fairness of the election or that the election didn't work. U.S. recommendations to combat the interference included expelling the operatives responsible for the disinformation and expanding use of independent observers during elections. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The early hours of the morning time, just about dawn. Sun shines through my window, and a new day has come. And every day when the work is done, the evening sun goes down. My whole world changes, Lord, when you come around. He comes and turns my radio on, gives me all day news. I got all. Him looking back outside at this man, wondering what it is, Lord, that makes it all go round, round and round, up and down. I hear the sound, turn my radio on, turn my radio on,
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Monday, October 22nd, the New York State Legislature held a hearing on legislative solutions to improve the state barter bill, the state's most effective recycling program. The barter bill, with its 5-cent deposit, was adopted in 1982, and the bottled beverage industry has changed much since then. We hear from Rhonda Kaiser of the Brooklyn Solid Waste Advisory Board, Alexis Goldsmith of Beyond Plastics, Blair Horner of NYPIRG, and Kent Sapiris of the New York State Association of Convenience Stores.
I'm Rhonda Kaiser. I'm chair of the Brooklyn Solid Waste Advisory Board, or SWAB. My testimony today is based on the 4 SWAB comments document for the New York State Draft Solid Waste Management Plan. This comments document was co-signed by 44 organizations across the state this past March and led by the SWABs of Manhattan. We also recognize that almost 50% of greenhouse gas emissions can be mitigated by zero-waste programs, that strong policies and goals like this are hollow without infrastructure. New York State's Returnable Container Act, commonly referred to as the Bottle Bill, has proven to provide measurably effective waste reduction infrastructure since its enactment in 1982. And now, after 41 years, it's time to update this legislation, and we strongly support the proposed amendment known as the Bigger, Better Bottle Bill. Modernizing this legislation would yield remarkable results, from an impressive 85% reduction in litter to more high-value materials being recycled each year, and a meaningful addition to the state's economy, a powerful reduction in carbon emissions, and significant savings in resources. The updated bottle bill would eliminate an estimated 20,000 of the 500,000 tons of waste that New York City exports yearly to Seneca Meadows landfill alone. Just one of the upstate landfills and incinerators that currently accepts New York City's waste and is bursting at the seams, Seneca Meadows is soon to become one of the tallest man-made structures in upstate New York, including more drink containers and increasing the deposit from 5 to 10 cents will build upon our most effective materials recovery infrastructure system. Assigning a value to these materials and making that value accessible to everyone provides a strong motivator to return these containers for the people who buy them and for the canners who clean our streets and waste streams and to provide their infrastructure at no cost to taxpayers. And finally, the SWABs honor the memory of Ryan Thorson Carson, who worked passionately to advance the Bigger Better Bottle Bill.
My name is Alexis Goldsmith, and I'm Director of Community Organizing for Beyond Plastics. New York has seen the benefits of the bottle bill over the past 40 years, a 70% decline in litter, waste diversion, and improved recycling of materials, and reduced greenhouse gas emissions. And these can be improved on by modernizing the law. We need to increase the refundable deposit to 10 cents. We need to put a deposit on non-carbonated beverages. The bill should be amended to include a provision requiring that 25% of beverage bottles with a deposit are refillable within a refill system by 2030. This target is in line with public commitments that Coca-Cola has already made to address its plastic footprint. Plastic bottles have had devastating impacts on ecosystems. 1 million PET plastic bottles are produced every minute. So over the course of my testimony, that's 3 million plastic bottles. They are not likely to ever be turned into new bottles because when plastic is recycled, its quality degrades, and they are usually downcycled into products like fleece. Up to 34 billion 1 liter PET bottles enter the ocean every year. The world's largest beverage companies are also the world's largest plastic polluters. Single-use plastic bottles have an enormous impact on the climate and fence line communities, including here in New York, where we have 10 waste incinerators, which are a very large source of heavy metal and particulate matter emissions. Up until the 1970s, Coca-Cola worked with local bottlers to distribute soda in refillable glass bottles with a refundable deposit, resulting in a near 100% return rate and multiple refills. It's time to bring back refill in combination with deposits. Refill has enormous economic potential. The reverse logistics of getting back, washing, and redistributing bottles would create jobs and could even be incorporated into the existing system. Refillable glass provides the most environmental benefits and health protections. We also recommend a definition of recycling, which clearly prohibits highly polluting, expensive chemical recycling technologies from counting as real recycling. And finally, it's sad to see that redemption centers across the state are closing or at risk of closing because they can't afford to operate. Senator May and Assemblymember Glick are carrying a bill that would direct the DEC to distribute grant funds from unclaimed deposits to support redemption infrastructure. Priority funding should be given to redemption centers in low-income
communities. My name is Blair Horner. I'm executive director of NYPERG, New York. New York State and the nation is facing serious crises. High on the list is the ongoing and worsening climate disaster resulting from the burning of fossil fuels and the growing difficulty in appropriately disposing of solid waste. These are two critical issues, and they are interrelated. The issue today is focused on one sliver of a comprehensive response, the state's 40-year-old bottle deposit law. Our review of New York's plans for responding to the twin crises of climate and solid waste is the unifying theme that the state must develop a circular economy. And a circular economy is, depending on how you read it, it's defined really on basically not creating lots of waste and relying on recycling, reuse, composting, remanufacture of waste products. The bottle deposit law is a good example of a program that is consistent with a circular economy. Of course, any 40-year-old program could use review and an upgrade. This hearing and offer important measures to make the program work better. Most notably, expand the number of beverage containers that are covered by the law. Covered beverage containers are far more likely than non-covered to be recycled. Get the grant program moving to bolster redemption centers and access to technologies. A more widespread use of technologies will also help boost compliance and efficiency. Update the handling fee to reflect inflation and based on the needs of entities complying with the program. Boost the deposit from a nickel to a dime. That move would generate as much as $200 million for the state, save municipalities at least $70 million, and help boost redemption rates closer to 85%, as you heard earlier, or 90%. A comprehensive expansion and modernization of the bottle deposit law is a win-win-win. It helps deal with the climate crisis, helps deal with the solid waste crisis, and generates money for the state and local governments. NYPERG urges that you ensure that the bottle deposit law is modernized.
My name is Kent Sopras. I'm president of the New York Association of Convenience Stores. And on behalf of NYACS and its 7,500 neighborhood convenience stores and 127,000 employees across New York State, I thank you for the opportunity to participate in today's hearing to review ways the state can increase the effectiveness of the bottle bill and prevent the bottles from being sent to landfills. For 40 years, our members, considered dealers under state law, have paid deposits to distributors, collected them from customers, and paid refunds when bottles were returned. Over the last four decades that the law has been in effect, however, a growing number of convenience stores now sell sandwiches, pizza, and other prepared food under license from the State Department of Agriculture and Markets. When bottles are brought in for redemption, they are rarely washed out and contained in bags that are sticky and unsanitary. The last thing that convenience stores need are magnets for bacteria, insects, or mice in the same vicinity as a food prep counter. This situation worsens when third-party collectors fail to pick up empty bottles in a timely manner, leaving the back rooms full of with weeks worth of empties. In many instances, these bottles will just be thrown out by managers and staff, defeating the purpose of the program. Before the bottle bill is expanded to include new types of containers, the state must address the clear flaws in the program's infrastructure. I believe there are legislative solutions that can make the bottle bill stronger and more effective, changes that should be implemented before the state considers expanding the program. NIACS believes the state should invest in and prioritize redemption centers, which will create jobs and provide central locations for bottles to be returned. Without this investment, the bottle bill program will continue to be incomplete and burdensome for retailers and consumers. The current bottle bill does allow convenience stores to contract with redemption centers to accept bottles on their behalf if the redemption center is within a half mile of the store and a half dozen other criteria are met, including prescriptive hours and signage requirements. While well-intentioned, this provision is never utilized by convenience stores and would make an already difficult process more confusing. We believe that by making it easier for retailers and redemption centers to work together, the bottle bill will be more successful. NIACS proposes language to be included in the bottle bill that would encourage consumers to bring bottles to redemption centers instead of convenience stores if the convenience store is licensed by the Department of Ag and Markets and the convenience store has a written agreement with a redemption center in the same county. The legislature should also consider funding the Beverage Container Assistance Program, which was created by the 2009 bottle bill. Chairwoman Glick and Senator May carry legislation that attempts to address this issue by including state assistance payments for up to 50% for the costs of infrastructure. If the purpose of the bottle bill is truly to incentivize recycling, then the barriers to that goal should be removed.
This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's Tuesday, October 24, 2023.
As sea level rise makes more coastal properties chronically flooded, those coastal property values are projected to plummet.
Rising sea levels threaten Florida property values and its economy. New study confirms hurricanes really are getting more intense due to global warming. Plus,
it's shocking, in fact.
Melting of the huge West Antarctic ice sheet may have already passed the point of no return.
All of those great stories and more, including Superfog, straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
And I know what you're thinking, oh, another depressing environment story.
Yep, this is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, a tragic story out of Louisiana, but a bizarre one, in fact. Super fog blamed in Louisiana for a highway crash that killed at least seven people?
Yes, unfortunately, at least seven people were killed and 25 injured in a massive pileup of 158 vehicles outside of New Orleans on Monday due to a super fog.
What the hell is a super fog? It sounds like a late 70s, early 80s soft rock band.
Well, the National Weather Service says the foul smoke from coastal marsh peat fires combined with dense fog to create an unusually dense super fog.
Well, what are peat fires?
Well, peat is basically rotting wet vegetation, and it can self-ignite after long periods of hot temperatures, which Louisiana has been roasted by hot temperatures all summer and into fall.
So it's likely this is going to be yet another part of our climate crisis?
Yes, and it's probably something that's not going to get better with more global warming.
And it's definitely something I haven't heard of until today. So add it to the list. What else you got for us today, Des?
Well, October 2023 is on track to be the hottest October ever recorded by a large margin.
Great.
Since record-keeping began in the mid-1800s. That's according to a new analysis by the nonprofit firm Carbon Brief. That also means plentiful ocean heat energy to fuel storms. In the Pacific Ocean, Hurricane Norma joined the growing list of rapidly intensifying hurricanes, rocketing to a Category 4 storm before hitting Mexico's west coast over the weekend as a Category 1. Newly formed tropical storm Otis is also on track in the Pacific to become the fourth named storm to hit Mexico's west coast just this month alone.
Wow, yeah, they got hit twice in 2 days just a week or so ago.
A new study confirms that Atlantic hurricanes are getting stronger and faster due to warming of the oceans driven by man-made climate change. The analysis found that storms are now twice as likely to rapidly intensify within 24 hours into powerful and catastrophic major hurricanes of Category 3 or higher than they did 20 years ago.
And that's something that we've also seen a lot of so far this year.
Yep, and it matters because rapid intensification makes it harder to forecast a storm's track and gives vulnerable communities little time to prepare, especially for mass evacuations. The study also found there have been more Atlantic storms in the last few decades than in the 1970s and 1980s.
Huh, I wonder why.
In Antarctica, faster melting of the West Antarctic ice sheet is likely now unavoidable, a new study warns, suggesting that future sea level rise may be greater than previously projected. That's even if governments succeed in achieving their promised emissions cuts. The study projects the rate of ocean warming and Antarctica's ice melt are both likely to triple due to humanity's ongoing greenhouse gas emissions. However, the researchers said reaching emissions targets will help to stabilize the ice sheet from further melting after 2100.
Good luck to us.
In Florida, an ominous warning from a new Florida State University study on the impact of rising seas on Florida's economy. The study found that 1 million Florida properties are projected to see chronic flooding in coming decades. Property taxes from those specific properties account for a third of local operating revenue in towns across most of the state. Worse, local planners and managers aren't aware of the coming financial impacts of climate change. In an interview with NPR, co-author Professor William Butler said the study is a wake-up call for a looming budget crisis for towns and the state.
We're not forecasting a future. What we're doing is letting people get ahead of that future, we hope, so that local governments can start to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to be preparing ourselves.
So when this happens, this is going to slam the tax base, which is going to slam the state of Florida. And I guess Ron DeSantis is not going out of his way to let his own constituents know about it.
Doesn't appear to be so.
Well, that's what being a climate denier is all about. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Next, we hear a song inspired by Radio Alice, one of the Italian free radio stations, or one might call pirate radio stations, that flourished in Italy in the 1970s when there was little oversight from the government. The radio stations lived in harmony and sort of worked together and did not interfere with each other. And Radio Alice was especially known for its programming that drew inspiration from the Situationists and Dada, and has been described as, quote, a mix between a classical medium of militant information and a sort of art experiment in media sabotage, unquote. In 1988, the San Francisco band The Catheads released an album called Submarine with a song called Alice on the Radio. It included bass player Alan Korn, who later became a broadcast lawyer and worked with WGXC to get our FCC broadcast license. He wrote about Radio Alice in this song called Alice on the Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, there will be increasing clouds with a temperature high near 68 degrees. On Wednesday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 52 degrees. And on Thursday, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 70 degrees. And on Thursday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 54 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
Multiply backwards from 3 times 10.
3 times 10 is 30. 3 times 9 is 27. 3 times 8 is 24. 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. 3 times 3 is 9. 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1 is 3, of course.
Now take the pattern once more. 3.
3, 6, 9.
12.
12, 15, 18.
21.
21, 24, 27. 30.
Now multiply from 10 backwards.
3 times 10 is 30.
Going
3 times 9 is 27. 3 times 8 is 24. 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. And 3 times 3 is 9. And 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1.
What is it?
3!
Yeah,
that's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
Walking across the floor. I love counting, counting to the number four. Oh, you're counting, counting with me to one less than five and one more than three.
Whoa, oh.
We're counting to four.
Whoa, oh.
Let's count some more. 1, 2, 3, 4 penguins that went by the door. Just back from the shore. 1, 2, 3, 4 penguins that were by the door. 1, 2, 3, 4 monsters walking.